In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Amen. Just going to grab a Bible really quickly. So some wires were crossed as I went to a conference this week, and I'm going to read to you from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set by the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but some people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and Moses, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people. So many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and anyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining.
Amen.
Amen. He did not speak until he was 4 years old. 4 years old. And at the age of 16, this man failed to pass the entrance to the school where he could continue his studies and what he loved. He loved science and engineering and math. And while he did graduate from university eventually, he struggled and he nearly dropped out. And his own father, upon his death, considered his son a failure. Well, he graduated and he didn't know what to do with his life. So he took a job as an insurance salesman and went door to door attempting to sell insurance. This is the story of the early days of scientist Albert Einstein. There is a future bigger than your past. The Reverend Dr. Sam Wells imparted to a group of rectors and deans of the Episcopal Church these words just 1 year ago, and everyone remembered it. There is a future that is bigger than your past. He spoke these words to a church that continues to receive dismal statistical data that this is a denomination in decline. There is a future that is bigger than your past. These are words we need to hear if we're going to follow the sacred voice of God into the future. They're words that have proven to be true throughout the history of the people of God. So today we hear that story of the Israelites wandering through the wilderness. And it's been long enough that there's no food, there's no water. Well, actually, it continues, there is food. But it's manna, and nobody wants that food. Not only that, people are starting to die from snake bites. There's a future that is bigger than your past, Moses declares. And he takes the very thing that the people feared, the thing that keeps leading people to death, and he commands them to set this thing on a pole as a sign. Everyone bitten by the fearsome cause of death, look at the pole and live. What do we have to fear today? Our future in this country and on this planet feels uncertain, doesn't it? One person at the conference I attended this past week made a suggestion that is rooted in today's scriptures. To see those who oppose us, those who seem a threat, as mirrors. Face the fear. And in the fear, see ourselves. And then today's gospel contains perhaps the most well-known scripture in the Bible, John 3:16. And in the passage, Jesus alludes to his death on the cross. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone who looks to this cross, the very thing that leads to death, will live. These stories of the serpent and the cross, stories that are telling about a cause of death transformed by God into a symbol of life. There is a future that is bigger than your past. As a 16-year-old girl who was very curious about my faith, with a new driver's license and who loved to read, one of the first places I remember traveling out of town was to a Christian bookstore. And it wasn't the books there that I remember the most. It was a saying on a large bookmark-sized card that bowled me over. It read, "I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he said, this much. And he stretched out his arms and he died." There was something so deep inside me that was so moved by the passion and compassion of God and human flesh that I bought the postcard and taped it to my bedroom door. Do you want to know life? Do you want to know a future that is bigger than your past? Look to the example of the cross. My friend and colleague Paul Fromberg said this week that the cross is the most, in the resurrection, is the most disrespectful thing to death, because death is supposed to remain dead. At the heart of the cross is a God who knew exactly what made his heart sing, what made him weep in compassion. And that was his great love for us, that was willing to sacrifice his very self unto death that could not be destroyed. So often, though, I think we get caught up in all of the conscious thought that keeps us dead, keeps us from the subtle, powerful ways that God has created us with hearts that sing, that do weep in compassion, and have a passion for things that are truly our life-giving and life-changing. But we get caught up in our thoughts, the chatter in our heads, and we fail to believe that our future is bigger than our past. Or perhaps we know that our future has the potential to be bigger than our past, but we are afraid. Or even worse, we're comfortable. Human beings have a way of getting caught up in our heads and our limitations. The people of God had a way of getting caught up in their heads in the desert. They'd wandered lost for years. They were unable to see beyond their hunger and their thirst. I always find it so amusing that the promised land was really not that far away. But they spent years and years wandering and just turning in circles that kept them from arriving. Then there's Jesus, in the context of today's gospel, who's received a visit from Nicodemus. This is a man so fearful of the ramifications of encountering Jesus that he only will go to him in the dark. And it's there that Jesus points toward the self-sacrificing love that will ultimately be understood in terms of a death on a cross that leads to life. Nicodemus comes presumably spiritually dead, and Jesus gives him resurrection hope. So my siblings in Christ, we as baptized people are made to fly in the face of all death. Our faith conquers forces of separation that are at the heart of sin. So I wonder today, what's keeping you from being fully alive? What's been keeping you from the resurrection power that disrupts death? Many of us read this week a chapter in John Neefsey's book, A Sacred Voice, is calling on passion and compassion. In it, Neefsey argues that if we are going to truly live as God calls us to live, it's not found in the analysis of our minds, but in the channels of our beating hearts. Nefsi argues we can't just ask, who am I, without also answering the passion question. What do I really want? When we start asking this question, what do I really want? Then we notice our reactions to our current reality. We can pay attention to how we feel, and that gives us a direction toward what comes next. If you've been thinking, I don't know if God's really calling me in this current reality that is my life, you might have said, well, I'll figure out what God wants for me once I get past. Or there's not enough time or space to live into what I really want or what God really wants for me. Or again, maybe you're just comfortable with how things are. I want you to look to the Israelites wandering in the desert, comfortable with their complaints. To Nicodemus seeking God under the cloak of the dark. There is a future that is bigger than your past. And that's at the heart of the scriptures today. The Israelites found the promised land. And now today, we're still yet living in the hope of a future that is bigger than that past. Nicodemus first came to Jesus in the dark, and it's at the end of the Gospel of John that he's the brave one who dares to come into the light to bury Jesus. He brings the best of what Jesus taught him in the dark out into the light. And the reality is that God is bringing us into that bigger future, whether we can see it or not. Nefsi says that if we're going to live into the fullness of that future, the questions that are critical to ask are, who are those for whom we hurt? And to whom does my heart belong? My mentor said that the critical question for discovering how that God is at work in your life is not to figure out what you think about it, but to be able to respond out of the depths of your being to the question, what makes you weep? Your passion and compassion are the gateways to the realization of a future that is bigger than your past. Let's get back to Einstein. A biography of his life accounts perhaps Einstein reached the lowest point of his life in 1902 when he could not marry his lover and classmate, Mileva Marić, who left Switzerland for her country, Serbia, after her pregnancy due to Einstein's inability to support a family without a job. This is as his father went bankrupt. Einstein worked at the time in a modest job educating children. He was eventually fired. There was the insurance salesman stint. And then the turning point came later in 1902 when the father of his friend, Marcel Grossman, was able to nominate him for a position as a clerk at a Swiss patent office in Bern. And it was in the desert wanderings of a monotonous office job that Einstein finished analyzing the patent applications each day very much sooner than all of his colleagues. And so he had time and space for study and dreaming. And it was there in this place of uncertainty and loss, along with time to imagine, that gave Einstein space to unleash his scientific dreams and the aspirations that ultimately changed the world as we know it. There's a future that is bigger than your past, and it's unfolding right now in the monotony of whatever you're doing. And if you're not sure where to start, you're in the right place. Every week we break bread that reveals the brokenness of the love of God on the cross. It reveals a God whose passion is to meet us in our brokenness and make a way to a future that we cannot dare to imagine. The future awaits. Amen.